All right, I greet you in Jesus' name, amen. That was good singing, Brother Tenson and the team that is preparing for the Chatama Crusade. When I came in late, we were picking my mother-in-law from the station, and I found very wonderful singing. It is my prayer that that is only the beginning of how, you know, the singing can be so glorious. So, and brother, you just need to know what the will of God is for your life, and you know, so he's in a battle of, you know, making decisions, because there is a likelihood, you know, of him getting posted elsewhere. Well, it is my prayer that he can stick around, especially for purposes of preparing for the crusade. Amen. So we are so thankful to the Lord for that. Now, today I was buying toner for the printer, because we want to print some sort of invitation flyers for Rufunsa. We want to have a revival meeting where people in far-flung places, you know, can be invited. And it would be good, for example, if Brother Lakson goes there with Brother Msukuma, they start dishing out these tracks, preparing people for some big, you know, revival meeting, where we can go and speak to those who are still undecided, because the fellowship there has created quite a storm, you know, news going about in places concerning the new church, what it believes. And so we need to strike the iron whilst it's still hot. Those speculations in people's minds, we shouldn't allow the speculations to quieten down. We need to strike, strike iron whilst it's still hot. Yeah, so then apart from that, my mother-in-law is in, and so I'm also trying to prepare, you know, invitation letters to the pastors, because this month, I think next week or so, we need to visit Chipata to meet, Chatama, to meet all the pastors now. And as I picked my mother-in-law from the station, she tells me, she says, oh, you know, all the churches, they say, I said, oh, that's wonderful, you know. All the different churches are already cooperating, saying we want to receive the visitors, so they are sensitizing each other. I said, wow, that's most beautiful, you know. And you know the good thing? You are singing their songs. You are singing their songs. So, you know, they spring from the Reformation period. Most of these songs you sing, you know, they come from the Reformation period. You know, in the line of Luther, out of Luther, there is the Dutch Reformed. And I'm told they're very excited and they're trying to cooperate of how they can attend the meetings. And that is our purpose. Amen? To bring all the people together, similar to what happened in Rufunsa. So all the people come together, you have a good time of fellowship and preaching the word of God. Amen. Amen. So we pray the Lord helps us in that. And so a lot of work, which is really on my table. And every time I sit down, it's crusade thoughts going through my mind. How am I going to do that? How are we going to organize this and that? And especially the upcoming meeting where we need to meet the different pastors of all these different churches. So, and I need to bring in the brother from Malawi. It's time he comes around so that he participates in all these preparatory works. Okay, so You just need to continue praying and take this thing as a burden on your heart. And then the Lord is going to help us. But what is more important is preparing our hearts, you know, for the work which is coming, spend time in devotion, in prayer and fasting. And I can hardly wait. I'm trying to sign up for leave from my workplace. I need to be done with a certain study program I'm doing right now. So as soon as I'm done with that, I'm just trying to do all the running up and down right now, because I want, when it's crusade time, I don't want to be running up and down. That is why I'm really praying Brother Tenson gets stationed here, so that I can withdraw myself from the, you know, trying to supervise what's going on in the music ministry and all that, so that I can give more time to preparing in terms of prayer, in terms of preparing the preachings and all that. And this time around now, we need a crusade manager, someone who can be doing all the coordination works. I wouldn't want to go through the stress I went through in Rufunsa. In Rufunsa, I did a lot of running up and down, in so much that the first day of the crusade after preaching, I had a migraine headache attack, you know. And so, but if we divide the work wisely, the stress points will be reduced when each and every person knows the work they need to do without supervision. That is what will really help us. Amen? If the people in the music, they're able to coordinate themselves and do the right thing even without close supervision, that would be good. If people who've been the prayer team, you know, are able to, you know, work out programs on how things need to be done, then, well, that would be good. And, well, most importantly and above all of us need to be prayerful, waiting upon the Lord, that the Lord may help us in this thing. Amen. So, and I hope everyone is excited about the crusade. May I ask, how many are going for the crusade? How many are going for the crusade? Okay. How many have started preparing for transport money? That's the problem. That's the problem. Sister Mansa, you're preparing. That's good. You know what shows your commitment? What shows your commitment is in your preparations. Because everyone can say, I'm going. How are you preparing? Obviously, the brothers are doing something. No. That's not preparation. That's a lack of seriousness. You understand that? Yeah, you know, people who are serious, they start laying something aside. You know, whenever God is doing something, don't look at how you will be assisted. Look at, Lord, I want to be a part of this blessing. What will I put in? And preparation starts now. Is that true? Yes. And you know, there's a blessing in doing these things. I can tell you that. I've always seen it a blessing when I give my heart and myself and my resources in the work of God. There's always a blessing in doing that. So don't always say, I'm going. So how far have you prepared? In terms of prayer, how is your prayer program? In terms of resources, are you setting something aside? Because when we go there, it's going to be a huge thing, and everyone's input will be important. I'm not saying, oh, you put something big aside. Listen to me. If one can put aside a 10 quarter, and that is all they could manage, there's a blessing in that. Oh, someone says, okay, if it's a 10 quarter, I think that is okay with me. And that just shows of how you don't have ears on how to hear. You remember when those people were coming to give offering, a Lord gave huge offerings, and then there's this poor woman, she came and dropped her few coins there, and Jesus signals to his disciples and says, you see that woman, she has given more than everyone else. Why? In that little offering was her life. It's not how much you give, it's about how much you are in what you've given. Did you hear that? It's not how much you give, it's how much you are in what you've given. Is your life in there? Yeah, you know, that is what is important. And your life is important if you give your heart to this thing. And how prepared you are shows in what you are doing right now towards that. You know, it's like the way I'm trying to punish myself in terms of work, and I'm trying to finish all my schedules so that in the month of the crusade, I just want to be very satisfied. If Brother Nzima will be doing his thing, I know that, well, everything is set. If Brother Tenson will be doing his thing with his music ministry, I know I won't have headache. And, you know, if we can commit so much time to prayer, because we need to hear from him, right? That is where the victory is. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, and we are so thankful so far for what everyone else is committing, you know, towards this work. I just want to encourage you with a few scriptures. I'm doing a lot of reading. In the morning prayers, I have to look at certain scriptures. And I just want to share a few things from what I've been reading. I've been reading books on evangelism, inspirational books on how to prepare yourself and all that. And as you read that, certain inspiration strikes you here and there. So I just want to share a few thoughts. I hope it won't take much time. Let us go to the book of 2 Kings 13, verse 14. 2 Kings 13, verse 14. And there are some three books I'm trying to order this evening. I had shared something, I think, in the missions group, in the missions team. There are certain books I gave them they need to be reading. I don't know how many are reading those books. But those who've been reading, I believe you are learning something. I believe it's igniting something in your heart. Brother Nzima, you've been reading Evangelism by Fire, isn't it? And every time he would post notes, you know, of what is inspiring him. Others, as quiet as a stone. You can see there's nothing going on. Yeah, they are waiting for one who has ready to share something. You know what? When soldiers are preparing for war, they go for drills. You understand that? Yeah. It's the same thing spiritually. If you are going for war, you don't go for a war like you're going for a shopping visit, you know, and that's not it. We need to prepare for spiritual warfare. We need to pray, study, prepare ourselves for the warfare. Very important. So God bless all those who are really taking good preparation for this battle we're getting into. Now, I need to say this. When you're going for war, apart from preparation, can you tell me one thing you can't forget when you're going for war? Can someone tell me? What thing don't you forget when you're going for war? I don't want a choir. I want to raise a hand, because when there's a choir, you don't know who's singing soprano and who's singing alto. What can you not forget when you're going for war? You can't forget that. You just need to be with it. Sister Ruth, hello? Weapon, yes. Is that what you wanted to say, Brother Tenson? Yeah, you see. The other day, Brother Tenson came, he was writing his online exam. He was doing it in my office, and because his laptop has a problem, so he's been using the one I have. So we were chatting, and then it was 1 hour before the exam. So there was something I was doing on the internet. I said, brother, what is your NRC number? Because I want to check your details here. There's something we are doing. Then he goes quiet and says, oh, I forgot all my credentials. I forgot my NRC. I forgot my passport. And you know, they need that when you're doing an online exam. I said, hey, now, suppose I didn't ask you that question. You would have logged in, and you know, you can't proceed without it. You know, those who've done this Indian exams, you can't proceed to the next stage if you haven't presented your credentials. Now, you know that there are certain things, if you're going for war, for battle, or for a certain incident or event, you can't leave them behind. So don't be like Brother Tenson on that day. Hallelujah, Brother Tenson. Yeah. There are certain things you don't forget. Now, if you're going for, now, well, that was just an NRC, it was just an ID, and, well, if he forgot that, maybe he wouldn't have sat for an exam, but it is not a life-threatening situation. But if you're going for war, and you forget a gun, that is life and death, isn't it? Yeah, because you're going to be killed on the battlefield. Now, listen, spiritual warfare also has weapons. There are weapons you use. You don't go for battle without weapons. There are weapons you use. There are weapons you use when you're going for battle. Now, when you look at great evangelists who've stormed this world before with the gospel, You know, there are certain things God put in them which pointed people to Christ. They didn't just go there and they read a few scriptures and explain a few things and the crusade ended there. If there are ministries which have changed the Christian world or greatly impacted the Christian world, you will notice a pattern, similar things, which these ministries had. And the similar thing you see, they had weapons of warfare. They had weapons of warfare. They didn't just go and preach the word to the people with their theoretical knowledge. God equipped them with something that brought about a revival which made sinners come to their repentance. And these weapons are written in the Word of God. Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus speaks about it. Mark 16:17. Those who, he says, go ye out into all the world. Lay your hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. You shall tread on serpents. Why did Jesus do that? Now, you notice there are certain things which have happened in Rufunsa that have never happened here. Are you able to observe that?
Amen.
For what reason? God is doing a work there. You understand that? You remember what Paul said? He says, when you gather and everyone speaks in tongues, and a person who does not know about these things steps forth into a place and hears everyone speaking in tongues, won't that person say you are crazy? Then he says, but what if one who doesn't believe comes among you and here someone stands up and speaks in a tongue, another person stands up and interprets and says, thus saith the Lord, there is a person who has entered here yesterday, you were doing this, this and that, and the Lord is speaking into your life, and this stranger realizes, hey, that is me they're talking about. Paul says, the unbeliever, when he sees that sign, will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because he will know you have God in your midst. Praise God.
Amen.
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 You know, reminds me of how the brother in Rufunsa came to the faith. He was a mastermind of, cards. That was his life. He was cards. Cards were him. He comes into a service. And even in this church, I've never preached about cards. It's not in the vocabulary of my preaching. But as I was preaching one time, my mind just switched and I started talking about cards, njuga, and I spent time speaking on that. And then the brother says, who taught that to the pastor? He's speaking about me. Even today when he tells me that day you spoke on cards for a long time, I can't even remember what sermon that was. I don't even remember talking about that. But he says, you stayed on that. And I say, that is me. Why did God do that? There was someone in need and something needed to be spoken just at that time to meet the need of that person, and that person needed to receive salvation. Now that is what you call the word of knowledge. It can even go direct, pointing at a person and calling a person to, you know, to their salvation. I remember one time, this was a time when I used to be in Victory of the World Ministries, and I was preaching in this, it was a Sunday service, and I think I've told you about it before. As I was preaching, and it was time to pray for the sick, and I had never done that, but I said, well, as I told the people to stand up, I said, there's a person, you have a very terrible pain in your eye, and it's the left side of your eye. And that was it. I didn't even know who that person was, but it was just a very strong impression which dropped in my heart. I only heard the testimony after 1 year, 1 year plus or so. And this testimony, this lady, she was testifying. She says, that was my first day entering the church. It was my first day. And she came, that was at Mtendere Basic School. She just came, she didn't even know this church. She says, Aleka ningeneko mnipempeleko. And she says, for a long time, for many years, I had a problem on my left side of the eye, whatever had happened with the veins, she says when she did this, it felt like the eye would drop out of the socket. It was a complication. She had gone for medics and all that, and whatever they could do, it all failed. And she says as she entered the service there, she was seated right at the back there, and she says at the time of prayer, the preacher mentioned exactly where the pain was, and on the exact left side, she says, I was scared. I didn't even go in front to be prayed for, but as soon as he was done speaking that was the last time I had that pain. From that time, she started coming for church. That is how she started coming for church, as a stranger, as a visitor. Now, you can't say that is coincidence. If it was someone who used to congregate with us, you would have said, well, that's how it happened. But this is a person randomly finds herself at Mtendere Basic School, and she sees so many teachers in all these different classrooms, and she says, I just need to go to church today. She says, let me enter there. And right in that Sunday service, God spoke something to her. Now, I can't say I have a gift of discernment. I don't really do such things, but it happened on that particular day, and God just wanted to meet the need of that person. To do what? To bring them to the Word. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, those are some of the weapons of our warfare. Many times you hear Brother Branham calls a person, he says, I can see you are fading away from me. You were involved in an accident, and I can see you have this problem. Or he will say, I see you have a cancer. It is located on your breast and all that. And then watch how he prays. He says, Satan, now you are exposed. There's nothing you can do. You understand that? When you are in a crusade meeting, in a place like that, you know that people go and attend a crusade with demons in their hearts? Now, do you know even witches go at a crusade to challenge you? Do you know that? Even before we go there, the news has spread, and you think witches are just quiet? We've even already put the stage where the crusade will be. You don't know what's happening. So, you will be very wrong. You are going for warfare. You are going dancing like you are on a shopping spree. And the devil is preparing. Anola manaifi yake. Say, they are coming to do this. Now, you don't go on the battlefield like that. You understand that? You go there fully equipped with weapons of warfare. You don't go there blinded. You need to go there with eyes. You understand what I'm saying, saints? But the thing is this. The weapons of our warfare are high above. They are great, and Satan trembles when the weapons are there. But the devil rejoices when he sees all of you and you all look naked. The devil knows which people are carrying real credentials. You understand that? Yeah, the devil knows that. You know, I'm told something happened. You know, these people who are in the army, before you join the army, I'm told, oh my, you'll go through a terrible training. You go through so much. I'm told it's terrible. It's bad. I remember some of my students I had, there are some who had gone for that. And one day, I don't know how he sneaked out. He came to he came at the college. He looked dark. Dark as in dark. Not the way I used to know him. And he became very thin. And this used to be a student who was, very confident. So, now, you know, at the college, they call us Sir, Mr. Perry, Sir, you know. So this time, I met him. But I noticed this strange fear in him. You know what? You know how he called me? He says, Buana. I thought, you've never addressed me. Oh, so sorry, sir. Then he started talking. I realized, oh my, they've done a lot to him. He calls me Buana. And, you know, he was speaking with fear, and you can see this guy has been through a lot of stuff. Now, I'm told something had happened. It's just the story I heard. Where some guys had sneaked out of training, this brutal training. They went by some near place. And what did they do there? They went, I think that was some restaurant or something they were eating. And news leaked out that there are some who've gone to this place. And so their trainers entered this place. And now there were so many people. So there is a word this army man mentioned. He wanted to identify them. He said something like, I think the standard is. Now every civilian will continue doing things normally, you know?
Yeah.
But then all of them, you know, went like that. Says, you, come on, come. And they went in for punishment. All the other civilians, they continued doing what they were doing. But when that army man mentioned the second sentence, which only those who knew it responded to it, that became their identification. Yeah. Now the thing of it is, in a spiritual warfare ground, those who are spiritual, they'll be able to respond to the call God is giving. And on the spiritual warfare ground, we are not civilians. We are soldiers who needs to know every command and every word and what it means. Now, listen to this. Let us go to 2 Kings 13, verse 14. This story encouraged me, and I thought of sharing it with you. 2 Kings 13, verse 14 to 17. 2 Kings 13, verse 14 to 17. Now, at this time, Elisha was sick, so sick he was about to die. And there was a young king in the nation, a young king. And this young king, he had a very big challenge of his life that he encountered at this time, because Israel was about to be attacked by a great nation. And this king didn't have experience, and so he goes to visit Elisha. But the thing about this king is he wasn't a godly person. He was a wicked person, actually. But now when there was a threat of the confrontation of war, he became so scared. And the thing which came on his mind, let me go see the prophet of God. Now, listen to the story. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So, he's in danger. His heart is really scared. He doesn't know what will become of the nation. Then he goes to visit Elisha. And Elisha, you know, in that time when you are a prophet, you are eyes of the nation. You're able to tell them this and that problem is about to happen. And so he comes to see Elisha and he begins to cry like, oh, my father, you know. He is crying as though to show sympathy, like the man of God is sick and is dying. So he is crying. I was reading Renard Monkey and he says, this was a wicked man. And actually his cry wasn't really like caring for the man of God. It was because of the fear he had over his fate. Israel was about to be attacked. And perhaps in his mind he was imagining how when this powerful nation will attack Israel and he will end up in jail and all that. And he goes trying to cry to Elisha and all that. But you know, a prophet of God is not someone you're going to convince with your fake tears. He's able to see through you. And so Elisha doesn't get comforted by his cry. Elisha just goes straight to the very reason why that young man was there. Not to cry over Elisha, no. He was scared of the Syrians. And listen to what Elisha says. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. You know, in those days, those were weapons, huh? Of warfare, bows, spears, and things like that. So the prophet tells him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. Why did Elisha go and put their hands. You know, he tells him, pick bow and arrow. And Elisha goes, holds his hands to help him. I guess he was still crying and having watery eyes. And he said, open the window eastward, because you can't shoot the arrows if there's a window, right? Are you following the story? So he says, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot! And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt, and the arrow of and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. Now, watch verse 18. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, and then stopped. He stayed. And the man of God was wrath with him. He was angry. Elisha was angry. And said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadest thou smitten Syria, till thou hadest consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria, but thrice. 3 times only. Beautiful prophecy, isn't it? Now look here. When you are going on a crusade, you are going there to confront all these evil spirits and principalities, which here can be represented by the Syrians. And if you are going to warfare, the last thing you do going for warfare is going there with tears in your eyes, trembling. You are uncertain of your future. Have you noticed that whenever soldiers are going for war, they sing songs of triumph to bolster courage in them? You've seen that, even in movies, right? Yeah. You know the songs they sing? Vala Jombo, soja, Vala Jombo. You've heard songs like that. I remember when we used to be at Unza. Oh my. We used to experience things there, you know. I remember one time, 05, I just saw, you know, they call them monks. They just say, Monko, Vara Jombo, Monko, you know, and everyone would start standing up, you know, and marching like soldiers, like they've come to invade us, so wake up. Also, Vara Jombo, Monko, and everyone, you know, wake up trying to imitate soldiers. But well, soldiers do that, and psychologically, it's important for them to do that. When you are going for war, when going for war, you focus on your strength, right? So they sing, they chant, they do all those things to bolster courage in them. And here is a man who was so scared. He is crying, of course, crying over Elisha, but actually the young man is afraid for what will be the fate of Israel. But the prophet tells him, take bow and arrow. Now, listen to me, brothers and sisters. If you are a child of God, you have a bow and arrow. You have a weapon, spiritual weapons of spiritual warfare. You have a gift in you. We don't fight the devil with our natural abilities and talents. We fight him using the gift God has given us. Because he is smarter than our abilities. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know that there are many people here who have spiritual gifts? At one time, they used to be active, but with time, they were packed somewhere nicely, and they're even rusting. Are there some people here like that? You know that, oh, the Lord used to use you in a certain way, but over the years you became so relaxed, and you just read mysteries and all that, and your gift quietened down. Others, it's work. Work, work, work. Others, it's just slumber and sleeping until you become very cold. Now, you know, no matter how powerful your weapon is, it can have all the ability. If you don't use it, it builds rust. Even cockroaches will start living on there, right? You understand what I'm saying? Do you know that even a brand new stove, if it is never used, it's never turned on, do you know a cockroach will sit on there? Right? Do you know there are believers? Yes. Having the Holy Spirit, But they are so dormant in their spiritual life until demons begin to play in their lives. You are a dead, cold stove until Satan can play around with your thought processes. Yet you have the weapons nicely packed. Why are they packed? Why are they accumulating rust and all that? Well, you are very inactive. When Elisha told him, pick bow and arrow, it was time for action. God wants to do marvelous things among believers. But you know why it isn't there? There's a lot of slumber. If there are people who've become very cold and so comfortable in their doctrines and mysteries, and they're so comfortable that the only thing they spend time on is arguing around doctrines whilst there's a world dying and perishing in sin out there. It's end time message, believers. Yet, you look at a man whom God used to bring this message to us. He never slept or slumbered. His heart was for the lost. Even to the time he was dying, he was crisscrossing the country, trying to do a crusade wherever he could. Because that is the great commission the Lord Jesus Christ left us with, and you don't need to have a gift to participate in it. You understand that? Even his coming, the Bible says, the Lord is long-suffering because he doesn't want any to be lost. So all those who are savable, it's our duty to proclaim the word of God unto them. Now, you know what? If you're not active and you're not doing what the Lord called you, your gift goes to sleep. And you'll be feeling very comfortable. You think that's how things are supposed to be. Hey, there is a day you give account for whatever reasons you think you have. But one thing I've discovered, you know, I'm a very busy person. When I go for work, I need to teach students. But I have never for any moment ever want to present that as an excuse why I can't work for God. If I have to sleep at midnight, so let it be. You understand that? And these places we go to are not comfortable. I remember the last time when Rufunsa, you know, there was Brother Nzima, there was Brother Lakson, and we were taken to sleep in a very small room. Brother Lakson, you know, wanted to show respect. He wanted to say, "Inza gona moto." Brother, this is on the mission field. TNT za gona paka mattress. Come in here. Kulibena kupenda mukanu kugona. Ukafesenga ukuswa nukwa meni yoko. That's the mission field. You know, you sleep on the floor, you get all dusted up. Monday morning, you are in the office with a necktie, and people just don't know what you go through. But you know what? I love those places than an office, because that is where the work is. Souls are getting delivered. People are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You see that? There are many bows and arrows which have a lot of rust in here. How many can say, no, that is true. I have a pack of them and it's just been lying idle. Are there any who are sincere? Mulipo, kosa kamba cha bea, amen. How many have bows and arrows which are building rust? You are there. Amen. Saints, it's not time to go to sleep. It is time to be on our post of duty. It is not time to cry like this King Josh was doing. King of Israel, prophet of God, father of the nation. It's not time for that. The battle is getting too hot for you to start crying over your personal life. Lord, I want to draw closer to you and all that. Sinners are dying there. You are trying to look. Those are kind of prayers you are doing. There are many times. You see, let me tell you this. Do you know that even when you are eating enough food, you are... Everything is okay. I've told you before. When you are all sitting down, do you know you start feeling sick even whilst having balanced diet? Because of the lack of activity in your body. You know the lack of activity can cause you feeling sick? If a believer is not in action in his life, I know not everyone. There are certain believers in certain countries. What I'm speaking about is not even practical in the environments they live in. But hey, you can pray. You can be part of what God is doing. I don't know in which way. Pray for the Lord to show you how. But the thing of it is, sitting down is not one of the options. Because when you're just sitting down in your couch, even in the natural, you know it makes a disease. It starts building a disease. You can have diabetes because whatever you are eating is not being burnt out inside your body. For it to produce the results it is supposed to do in your body. You see? Couples, I sent something in the WhatsApp group. There's a free course on a certain platform offered by a certain university, and they're teaching on diabetes. Please, if you can, enroll in that course. It's free. They'll teach you very important things on what causes diabetes. And I'm mentioning this because it's a big problem in Africa, even in India and many other countries. And you know the way the course starts? They begin by announcing to say, hey, we've discovered a pill for diabetes, medicine, which can, when you take it, you won't have diabetes. And they say, you know what the pill is? Your lifestyle, what you eat, and number two, exercises. Let me see, how many do physical exercises here when you wake up in the morning? You do press-ups, you lift things, and may I see those who do exercises? Tell the truth, you are in church. And more importantly, you are a believer. Those who do exercises, wow. We're only the three of us. You can ask my wife. I don't do anything until I have done exercises. Until I have done exercises in the morning, before sleeping, I have to do a lot of press-ups, I have to do a lot of running, yes, in the bedroom. You know, just on the same spot, you start doing this, and I'm counting all the steps. Afterwards, you do this and that. By the time I'm done, I'm all sweating. Oh, in Africa, you know, we laugh at that, ha, 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 ha. We have enough problems in Africa. Our own lifestyle is exercises. That is not true. That is not true. It doesn't mean, every time you are cleaning place, you're saying, yeah, man, the exercise. Exercise has to move every joint and every part of your body. That is true exercise, and you need to sweat. You know, now that is important. And you know, no matter how busy I am, I have to start my day like that. It makes my blood move and things like that. And exercises puts your mind in the right framework for you to, you know, it even affects your concentration. Okay? Now, as you hit 40, what I'm speaking is very important. It's not something to laugh about. If your body has less activity and you keep consuming carbohydrates, at a certain point, diabetes will hit you. And many people in Zambia have diabetes. Do you know that? Now, that's a very bad disease. You know that? Once it affects you, it can affect your eyes. Look at even our dear pastors who are dying out. What's the cause? Most of them is diabetes. It reaches a point where there's nothing you can do. But you know what? It is preventable. Now, I'm not saying, if you do this and that, it won't happen to you. We don't really have control over certain things. Others inherit it genetically. But although certain things which happen may not all be within our control, at least try to do what is within your means. Because God does not take care of carelessness, right? Now, the point I'm driving home is, how does this condition develop? When one has less activity in the body, it creates a disease, even when they're eating a balanced diet. Why God made this body to be active. And that is how the body of Christ should be. It needs to be active. Amen.
Amen.
You need, the other time I preached a message, spiritual exercises. And when someone just hears a sermon, meditates, does nothing, you find someone is a believer, but they say, I think I'm having depression. How? A person who is active in the faith, say, let me visit brother so-and-so. Let me go and encourage them. Let me pray over this. What are the prayer requests I'm focusing on this week and all that? Listen to me. If you are an active believer, Satan won't sit on you the way flies sit on a cold stove. That stove has all the power in it. It has all the heat in it. But until you turn on the button, it's a cold stove. Even if the brand says Defy. Oh, great brand. But as long as it is off, it's not doing its work. So don't say to the Mwimbila, to Zandam Rapture. What's the reason? What gives you the conviction? I know the spoken word book. I know, Brother Branham. No, that's not the qualification point. You can have all the good brand. If that electricity is not flowing through you, you are useless. Praise the Lord. So we need to pick bow and arrow. It's time for action. Now, you see, you say, oh, it's been a long time, Brother Piri, but I used to dream dreams. I used to have a gift of prophecy, but then it stopped. No, it doesn't stop on its own. It stops when activity stops. Then it goes quiet. So did I lose it? No, you can never lose your gift. Gifts of God are without repentance. Don't worry, your gift is still very intact. It's just accumulating rust wherever it is. The day you wake up, you pick them up and they'll work just as fine. But the thing is, at a certain point, God will require of us, what did you do with what I had put in you? When everything is done, God is not going to ask you, how faithful are you at your workplace? He won't ask for a balance sheet and your cash flow of how your business was doing. God is interested in that thing he put in you. How far did you go in using it? How were you a blessing? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the quality of some people's work will be of gold, others silver, others diamonds. Wena mauzu. Yazashto buka when tested through the fire. Nothing. And the Bible says, yeah, they'll be saved, but they would have lost all their work and efforts. I wouldn't want to be like that. A true believer's worry is not about harapte kashtika sinzi wangatinza and your worry should be, yeah, going, I'm going, but what will I present to the other side? How will my Lord assess the work, my life? Praise the Lord. Now see, he took bow and arrow, but there was a window. Before you can shoot with bow and arrow, you need to open the window so that the bow and arrow can. God will not use you. Now, you notice, when he was about to shoot, the hands of Elisha came and held the hands of Joash. You have a gift in you, but God's hands has to come on you for the Lord to start using the gift. But how will that start? You need to open the window. You need to open the window for the arrows to go forth. You need to create windows of opportunity for God to use you. God will never use you if you're not positioning yourself right, if you're not finding yourself in the place where he can use you. Amen. Would we have seen what was in Rufunsa if we had not gone to Rufunsa? We would have continued being comfortable here, isn't it? You say, atinalali kila kudara pamaliro and all that. Brother Msukuma wouldn't have been baptized. His wife wouldn't have been baptized. Sister Makwerere wouldn't have been healed. Wouldn't have seen all the blessings and all the grace and wonderful things which have happened there. But you know what? It came as though it was just a thought. It was later on when my Piri told me the dream. When we went there now to, as an advance party, she said, Mameni Mabwerere, so ninakulotani. I saw you in a dream. I saw you. I saw Brother Silungu and all that. We were looking for oil. And she said then she found oil. And we started talking about the oil and all that. So the time we were preparing the ground for the crusade, some sisters were sweeping. Some brothers were cutting the trees with an iron axe. That's the time I said, let me try. I took this iron axe, you know. And there was a very big tree we were trying to cut down. I hit once. When it sank in that wood, I felt the vibration through my whole body. I said, no. This is not for me. I felt my whole body shaking, you know. But hey, it was wonderful. And as my Piri was sweeping and I joked with her, I said, do you know what we're doing, my Piri? We are looking for that oil you saw. Want to know where is the fountain? She says, yes, Pastor. The oil is somewhere here. You know, we started joking and speaking by faith. I said, yeah, that's what we're doing here. And well, today, last week, Brother Msukuma called me. He says, Pastor, as you are coming this weekend, or whichever believers are coming, we are preparing munkoyo so that people can have something to eat. Tenze pempa kutijiribu inoejo. I said, wow. My heart rejoiced. He said, I didn't know these people. And they already have a spirit in them, the same spirit which a number of you have. The same spirit of responsibility, knowing that all visitors are coming. We're trying to do this, we're trying to do that. Listen to me, it's only God who is doing that work. There was a time I used to be worried, what's going to happen? But now, there's a brother. The other time he called me, he says, Pastor, we've been visiting different people and evangelizing. And then, that was last Sunday, he says, out of all the people we evangelized, two, they came for service today. And he was very happy. Listen to me, brother. If you think God can only use you, God is no respecter of persons. He will raise people who are available, who are ready to take bow and arrow and are ready to shoot. But what I want to encourage you is, everyone here, you have a bow and arrow. The thing is, you've closed the window because you are very comfortable. Inside the compartment, it's very warm and nice, you know, and everything happens as predictable as you would want. And, you know, it's nice. I mean, it's nice for Brother Nzima. I mean, it feels more nice here, you know, than Rufunsa, you know, where everything is said, there are instruments here, and, but you know what? Your gift is dormant here. It's not doing anything. When you go there, every weekend you come with a testimony. Don't love the comfort zone. It's time, no matter how cold it is, open the window because you need to shoot bow and arrow. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we need to open the window. How do you open the window? Open a window of opportunity. God wants to use us. But the thing is, have you given God an opportunity to use you? Because he is a gentle spirit. He never forces anyone. You understand that? When he walked in the Garden of Eden, he said, Adam, where are you? Meaning, there was an agreed place where Adam used to be found, and God didn't find him there. And God knew where Adam was, but he wanted it to come from his mouth. Adam, where are you? You are not on the place where we need to fellowship. There are many people who are supposed to be in the front lines of the battlefield, but they're just not in the place where there will be an opportunity for God to use them to be a blessing to another person. Is your window closed? Or have you opened it to say, Lord, here I am, ready with my bow and arrow. I'm ready to shoot. But before you shoot, you need to open the window. What are we saying? Take action. Be in action. Praise the Lord. I read in the book of Acts that Paul was set on a journey. And as he was moving, he wanted to stop by a place to start preaching. It's the Holy Spirit which told him, not here, proceed. You know the good thing I love about that story? At least he was in transit and he was ready, looking for an opportunity. You know, there are some people who say, no, I'm still sitting because I'm waiting upon the Lord. That's one tactic Satan has used to make people lazy and do nothing. In the name of, I'm waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is true. But remember the Bible says, draw nigh to me. Take action first. And God will see your seriousness. Then I'll draw near to you. Right? You say, Lord, here I am. Lead me. Guide me. But show the Lord you are ready for something. Praise the Lord. And God will tell you, say, okay. Like the story of Brother Branham. He was very confident. Most of you saw him when he was interviewed in that video. He says, we're going to Israel, and I believe the Israelites are going to see the sign of the Messiah, and they'll believe in Jesus Christ, looking at the gift God has given me. He even took time for all the crusade arrangements to be done. He even bought the flight. He had already bought the air ticket. It was the time when he was on the plane as he got off. God said, this is not your place. Move out of here. You know what I love about that story? He had used the initiative, they had made a program, and God met them on the way. God will not come your way if you're not serious, you're not standing up, and you're not in action. That's one thing I learned from all the events and stories I read in the Bible. God never meets people who are seated in a Morris chair, saying, what are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. No, that's not how we wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord by standing up and saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Where does your spirit lead me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Open the window. Shoot your bow and arrow. Now look here, not all of us can be soldiers on the ground. There is work you need to attend to. That's why we have people who are in the ministry here, like Brother Zima, who always go out in the ministry. So I'm not saying, oh, you have to resign from your work for you to be part of the team. That may be impractical for some of you. But listen to me, wherever you are, your heart has to be with people who are on the field. In terms of prayer, in terms of making a phone call, how is the work going there? Are we winning? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, like the other time when the brother was telling me, oh, this is what is happening, brother, here. I'm seeing God doing his work. This sister has believed. When I read that, my heart just bubbled and I screamed in the house. I said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I went in the bedroom. I said, praise the Lord. My wife was telling me, hey, what's happening? I started telling her, this and this has happened. And then I thought to myself, wait, what is wrong with me? Why am I too excited? I said, no, I can't hide it. I'm happy, you see. And then it reminded me the other time I was in Uganda. I was with Brother Nice. I was with Brother Charles Obun. And then, so we were quiet, you know, talking, chatting, waiting for supper. And then Brother Nice just screamed, hallelujah! He stood up there. He said, glory to God, glory to God. I said, what is it? He said, Brother so-and-so, we, you know, this brother had a wedding. Eh? Today you have a wedding, Saturday. Imagine how cruel. The brother had a wedding, I think that was Saturday. Sunday, Brother Nice told the sister, says, sorry, sister, we know you're supposed to be on honeymoon, but the brother has to go for mission. And they were sent off Sunday to go in the mission together with his wife, go on the mission field. That's how serious it is. And where he went, he had just been there 2 days, 3 days, so he had just been sent photos that some people had been baptized in a place which was strange. And so Brother Nice just jumped up and he said, glory to God! Now, you know what would make people excited like that? It means the heart is in the missions. You can't pretend with that excitement. So, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Your heart cannot be where, you know, your interest is not. The moment you start getting excited at the news of people giving their lives to God, then you know you are very close to the kingdom. You know your heart is there. But if it doesn't move you, you say, oh, no sense of joy in your heart and all that, it means you are so detached from it. Praise God. So saints, you need to take your bow and arrow. Now look at what this man did. The next thing Elisha tells him, says, take those arrows, smite the ground. Now, he should have gotten an idea from what the prophet had said after he shot the arrow. Remember, after he shot through the window, what did the prophet say? Behold, the deliverance of God. God will deliver you from Syria, and the hand of God will be upon you. That should have excited him, right? And then the next thing he is told, take those arrows, smite the ground. What did he do? He took them. I'll show you how he must have done it. And Elisha got very upset. You know, he just did it 3 times. So I smite the ground. Oh, okay. And the Bible says Elisha was very upset. He says, why have you struck 3 times only? Because what you were doing, you were signifying how many times you defeat Syria. Now you only defeated 3 times. You should have smitten at least 5 times. This fellow, as he was hitting the ground, there was a disconnect between his zeal and the work he was doing. Never let your spiritual life reach that place where you come here to merely warm the chair. You've lost the warmth, the fire, the zeal of being spiritual. The zeal for revival, the zeal for prayer, the zeal for evangelism. Don't reach that place where you get so comfortable. Everything you are doing, you have to be, you know. Let us sing. My voice is Stimvera. He abides. You can see up. Yeah, we are not called to a cold life. That's a beautiful statement. We are not called to a cold life. Believers are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're in action. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. So when Brother Zima sent me that, he says, oh, you don't know what the Msukumas are doing. They are setting the village ablaze and people are calling them mad. Yeah. When someone is called mad for the gospel, then you know they are working real hard. God is using them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. But if you are able to fit in wherever you are at your workplace and you are just a normal person and people have never felt the heat, you know what? Mukapwere sa muliro apaunve katipali muliro. Suma mene. But muliro amene tikaitana very good artist akau drawing. Kodi tingatenge warmth kumuliro open. Ateni muliro yanso tinao drawing atifukwete zetina mvera kupia maningi bwino. So tinatenga picture na kuhu drawing. Manza ikabwera kodi zizo nina. Mzainda pa picture atawe. Nde unatitandiza wamene we. Visa seven zaivo. But that is what end-time message believers are doing. They read the spoken word books. Oh, God used Brother Branham. They put his picture in the churches. They think a painted fire will warm the congregation. It can never be, brothers and sisters. We thank God for that ministry. It brought us the message, but we need this, the living fire, because it has never left the church.
Amen.
Yeah, we need the living warmth. The pillar of fire has never left true believers. There are many who are trying to warm themselves by the painted pillar of fire, which was the halo on Brother Branham's head. They think by putting a picture in their churches, then they'll receive the warmth. No, sir, it never happens like that. We still have a work to do. There are still villages to take crusades to. There is still a lot of work. Don't just get obese with reading this revelation and this doctrine. Those things are nice, but when the pass obesity, when they open their mouths to talk about, do you know what the seventh seal is? Do you know there's this mystery? Mysteries are good, but can't you see you've got an obese, no activity? All you do is argue. All you do is argue about what this scripture says, what that scripture is saying. When you look into your lives, no warmth of the Holy Spirit. That's a sad, pitiful state. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Yeah, because the pillar of fire is upon the church of God, is upon true believers. Ask yourself, what occupies your mind? What occupies your mind? The Lord Jesus said, don't worry about what you eat tomorrow. Don't worry about what you wear, the clothes. He says, for after these things, the Gentile nations seek after. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Your prayer, your focus, your desire should be, one day Jesus needs to come and rule this world, the coming of his kingdom. And your preoccupation should be getting as many people as you can by the grace of God, calling them out of darkness into the knowledge of God. That is what preoccupied the early church. That was the message of John the Baptist. The kingdom of God is near. When Jesus Christ ascended, that was the message of the apostles, preaching the gospel to the people, for them to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Their lives, certain things they used to do in the church, like having deacons and things like that, it was just a byproduct of the work God was doing. But you know what? People have preoccupied themselves with titles. Who is a deacon? Who is an apostle? Who is a prophet? Look here. The early church never had time to argue on things like that. The work you do is more important than a title you're trying to tag on yourself. Just do the work. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, the work is what is important. Praise the Lord. I think let's end here because we'll go on and on. But the message you carry home, please look at the time where you ended, where you packed your gift. You packed your gift and it's building rust there. Gifts of God are very powerful. The devil can't challenge a true gift of God. But do you know that they say iron is so strong, nothing can destroy it. The only thing which can destroy iron is what? Hello? Its own lust. You can't take iron and say, let me break it. The only thing which destroys iron is its own lust. That is you. When God called you, He sealed you, He consecrated you, His spirit is on you. Not even the devil can grab you from His hand. The only thing which can destroy you is your own flesh. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, He's a good shepherd. No one can snatch His sheep from His hands. That's how God has protected us. But we can choose to destroy ourselves by our comfort zone. The greatest enemy of your success is the last success you had. Makes you comfortable. Makes you feel you've arrived. No, I haven't arrived myself. I was in prayer the other day, was it yesterday? And I was meditating and thinking through. I said, Lord, what happened in Lufthansa is really nothing. If I see what you did in Acts, there are greater heights we can reach in reaching the world. We can do far above what was accomplished. The only thing is, we need to die to ourselves. The more we die, the more God fills us. Let every portion of I, let every portion of the flesh move out of the way, then God will manifest strong and mighty. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand? So you need to be ready for a Dutch. Huh? I don't know which other people are coming, but that was encouraging when I heard that.